We're going to get right into the Word tonight and believe that the Lord is going to speak to us. And what I'm going to share with you tonight, I think, you just need to keep an open ear to the Holy Spirit and what He would say to you about this Word, all right? One of the most frustrating things and discouraging things in life is when it seems like we're just not making any progress. I mean, sometimes there are areas, or at least one area of our life, where we just seem to be stuck and we can't seem to ever get to the next level. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you tonight to keep pressing on, not to give in or give up. I hope nobody plans on just taking another lap around Mount Sinai. Now, that's a reference to the children of Israel in the wilderness when they didn't go into the promised land. They just went in circles out in the wilderness until they all died. That whole generation had to die off except for Joshua and Caleb. And a new generation was raised up and they went in. But you know, I think sometimes in our lives, it can kind of get that way where maybe in at least in some areas of our life, we're just going in circles. In fact, I think some people get that to a stage in life, especially when we get older maybe, but it could be even when you're younger, but you get to a stage in life where you just kind of settle in for just going in circles until the Lord comes or you pass on. You're just going in just another day, just another circle. I want to encourage you and challenge you to go to the next level. That we need to always be believing God that in some area of our life, we're going to go to a new level. You know, Jesus promised us an abundant life. That's an overflowing life, a life that's overflowing with life. That's what He's talking about. And you know what? We're following Jesus. Now, I want you to get this. If you're following Jesus, that means you're going somewhere, right? You're not staying in the same place. You're moving. And there shouldn't be anything static or stale or stationary about following Jesus. We ought to always be moving forward. But first and foremost, we want to be growing in our relationship with the Lord always. Maybe you want to be more successful at your job. Maybe you want to do better in your personal finances. Maybe you want to go to the next level as a parent, you know, be a better parent. Or maybe you want your marriage to be better. I hope all of us want to grow in ministry and be more effective for the Lord. Yeah, I'm talking about you. That's right. That's not just for preachers. That's for all of us. All of us should want to grow and be used of the Lord in a greater way to reach people and help people. But maybe there's some other area of your life where you just have felt stuck and, you know, you would like to go forward. You'd like to go to the next level. In 2 Peter 3:18, the scripture says that we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should always be growing. We go from faith to faith. We're advancing, moving from, well, it ought to be this way at least, from one victory, moving on to the next victory. Amen. And, you know, let me give you this with 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says that we are transformed from glory to glory. See, we don't just settle in and we're just hanging on till Jesus comes. No, we ought to always be growing, always becoming more like Him, going from glory to glory. So if you're stuck in a rut, it's time to get moving again. All right. But I want you to hear this. It's not just about being busy, because most of us are busy enough, right? You can be all kinds of busy and yet never be getting to the next level. It's like the children of Israel again, you know, that they weren't static or stationary. They were moving. They were doing circles. And that's the way a whole lot of people are in our culture. They are so busy, they're meeting themselves coming and going and getting nowhere. So we don't want to be that way. Are you really growing in your relationship with the Lord, or has it become a routine? Is your marriage, are the things that should be better or could be better, or maybe they're staying the same or even going downhill with your children? Are you frustrated, just tired of dealing with them, like somebody come get these kids? You know, it just never seems to get better. On the job, you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, but no promotion. And even in ministry, you can find yourself in a rut. And there's times in ministry, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if you are a pastor or a group leader or on the worship team, whatever you might do in ministry, there are times when you feel or it seems unfruitful. There's times when you just want it to be more. And I just want to encourage you tonight that you can't allow yourself to get to the place where you're so frustrated that you just don't try anymore, that you just don't reach higher anymore. See, when we get to that place where we give up, we confine ourselves or even condemn ourselves to the level that we're at, to never getting to the next level. And so I want to encourage you tonight, you can. So what does it take to get to the next level? First of all, let me just tell you this. It takes more than time on the job to get the promotion. You can work at the same job for 20 or 30 years and never move up. There's a whole lot of people that have done it. It takes, same principle. You can be married 20 or 30 years and not have a great marriage. There are people that stay married 20, 25, 30 years, and they're miserable. There are also people who had a good marriage for a while, and then it went downhill. But this is not uncommon at all in our day and time. People have been married for 25 years, and they get a divorce. I just want you to hear this now. Wherever your marriage is at, it can go to another level. Now, maybe you're like, nope, it's perfect. It's perfect. But I just want you to know, you see, your marriage, your kids, whatever it is that you're struggling with, it can go to the next level. But you're going to have to be willing to do some things differently. And tonight I'm going to share 7 things with you, just 7 principles, all right? See, these 7 principles can apply to any area of your life. You might want to jot these down. You may just need 1 or 2, that really hits you, that you realize, hey, that's where I've been missing it. Or you may think, you know what, I need all 7 of these. And if that's you, you might have to jot them down. But here's the first one. We have to believe. I talk a lot about faith. You know why? Jesus talked a lot about faith. The Bible talks a lot about faith. We just need to understand how important this is. We're not just doing this on our own. Whatever it is, your job, your finances, raising kids, whatever it is, you shouldn't be just doing that on your own. You're doing that with the Lord. As a believer, we believe that God helps us. There's not a limit. Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So we take the limits off. See, you got to believe you can get to the next level or you won't. And it's not self-confidence. That is a worldly concept. Do not bring the principles of the world into Christianity. Self-confidence is a worldly thing, and it lends towards pride. No, our confidence is in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That's where our confidence is. It's in Christ. My confidence is in Christ and nothing and nobody else. So we believe we can get to the next level, even in areas where we've had setbacks and defeats. We believe we can get to the next level because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, when you see what happens when you don't believe, well, the children of Israel in the wilderness. They come to the promised land and they get this bad report. But Caleb says, We are well able. We should go in and possess the land. But the people didn't go in because they were afraid. They didn't believe. That's what happens when you don't believe. You don't get to the next level. Now, on the flip side of that, when Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, it seemed like this insurmountable, absolutely impossible task, and there were people that opposed him and heckled him. But here's his response in Nehemiah 22 and 20. He says, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." See, here was his confidence. The God of heaven is going to prosper us. He's going to help us get it done. Therefore, you see, because he believed that God was going to help him, therefore, we will arise and build. See, if you don't really believe you can get to the next level, you just won't have the drive to do the things you should do. But if you believe that God is going to help you, you will arise and build. You'll go and you'll do the things that are necessary. But we got to pray and we got to believe. Mark 11, 24, Jesus says, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray and believe you receive them, you will have them." So we believe we receive. Don't expect failure. Believe for things to change. Believe for your children to behave. I want to encourage you, believe for your children to behave. Believe that God will provide. Believe that God's timing is perfect. See, a lot of people get stuck on one level because they just don't believe that things can get better or that things will get better. I am still believing, after 40 years of preaching, I am still believing that I'm going to get better as a preacher. That my best preaching days are ahead. I believe that. Listen, it's not about talent. It's not about gifting and personality or anything else. My faith and my trust is in God. And he is able to make me better, to make me more fruitful, more powerful. It is God, by the Holy Spirit, that does the supernatural in people's lives. And I believe my best days are still ahead. Some of you need to jump on board and believe with me. That's right. Some of you think you got a long ways to go. See, and here's the worldly way to think. 40 years, well, if you ain't there now, buddy, you ain't never gonna get there. That's the way the world thinks. See, you just look at what has been and you say, well, that's what will be. That's not faith. Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's not what you've seen, not with the natural eye. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's something that you have to see with spiritual eyes. And so you don't look at what has been. No, you need to believe that you can change, that you can go to a new level. I believe that Grace Church is going to see more lives changed than ever before. I believe. I know that it is his will for us to bear fruit, to bear more fruit, and to bear much fruit. That's what the Bible says. And I believe that God is going to do a work and we're going to see more lives changed than ever before. But we got to see with eyes of faith. Believe. Number two, to go to the next level, you need to get direction from the Lord. And I know that this is one, I mean, we could do a whole series of sermons just on this one point here, that we need to get direction from the Lord. But I just want to give you the basics of this. First and foremost, we go to the Word of God for direction. It tells us so much of the will of God and what God wants to do, how God wants to do things. And so if we want to hear from God, if we want direction from the Lord, that's the first place that we go. I think a lot of people, though, you know, talking about getting direction from the Lord. See, a lot of people think that the key to success in life is, well, you know what, you just got to get lucky. They think that, well, some are successful just, you know, they're lucky. That's why they play the lottery. They think, maybe this will be my turn to be lucky. Maybe my ship will finally come in. Let me tell you what works a whole lot better. See, that's trial and error living. We'll try this, we'll try that, and maybe something will hit. No, what we need is a word from God. We just need one word from God, one idea from God. And so often, as we read the scripture, the word of God will speak to us about something that we need to change. It just won't leave you alone. I mean, if you're willing to hear it, it'll speak to you about something that you need to change in your life. But the word of God, well, let me give you this from the word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. You know, most believers would say, yes, yes, I'm trusting in the Lord. Then it says, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, this is where a lot of people have a problem. They want to have it all figured out. And they'll say things like, well, you know, God gave me a brain, so I need to understand. I need to see how this is going to work. Listen, I walk into a room and I flip that light switch on. I don't understand everything about electricity. Yeah, I know that this is the hot wire and that's the neutral, that's the ground. Yeah, I know there's electrons that flow down that wire somehow. I don't understand how all that works, but you know what? It don't stop me from walking over and flipping the light switch. And here's what I want you to see is that when God gives us direction, we can't lean on our own understanding. Remember, we're doing this by faith. We're believing God. We're not just doing this on our own. And so often, God does things a different way than what we thought. In fact, if you want to improve your prayer life, quit telling God how to do things. But we got to trust Him even when we don't understand it. Well, God gave me a brain, and I'm supposed to... Listen, you need to trust the Lord and look to Him for direction. Let Him direct your paths. Don't do it your way or the world's way. You let God guide you. Psalm 32 and 8, here's a great promise, a great word. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Whatever area of life that you would like to see improve, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Just one word from God can put you over. He leads us, He guides us by the Holy Spirit. If we're paying attention, I mean, if we're just trying to do things our way, we're not going to hear. We're not going to see or listen. But if we are sensitive to Him, the Holy Spirit is able to lead us and guide us and give us those ideas that we need. It's amazing how one idea can improve your relationship with your spouse. One idea can help you get your kid headed in the right direction. And so often, listen, I'm not talking about you sitting around coming up with something. I'm talking about you praying and you spending time in the Word, and somewhere along the way, as you are trusting in the Lord, you're not leaning on your understanding, God is able to give you that idea. This is kind of a fun story, but it makes the point pretty well. Years ago, there was a barber in a small town. He'd been the only barber in town for many, many years. And one day, one of these big salon franchises moves into town and they put up a sign that says $3 haircuts. And man, the old barber, he's just losing all his business. And he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But finally, he calls, you know, in desperation, he calls in a consultant. And this guy comes in and the barber tells him what's going on. And the consultant goes over the books and everything, trying to figure out what to do. And so finally the barber says, what should I do? Should I just close up? And the consultant says, no, let me think about it tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. Well, the next day the consultant comes back with a banner to hang on the window. It says, we fix $3 haircuts. Sometimes all you need is an idea, and it can change things. But we need direction from the Lord. That's the truth. You can't just do things by trial and error. You know, the Holy Spirit is the best consultant ever. You need to trust Him. And I know that sometimes in life, you know, I say, we shouldn't just do by trial and error, and you shouldn't. But I know that sometimes we try things, and sometimes, you know, we even feel like we're obeying God, and yet we have setbacks, and we have to persevere. You know, we just have to keep going. But, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I just want you to understand, it shouldn't be that we're just, you know, blindly trying this and trying that. No, we need direction from the Lord if we're going to get to the next level. I mean, if what we thought was going to get there, we would already been there. You understand what I'm saying? So how do we get direction? Primarily from the Word of God. He will speak to you through His Word, but He also will lead us by His Holy Spirit in specific situations. And I always say this, but if we're not willing to obey the Word of God, we can't expect Him to give us instruction about the details of life. But you know, when Joshua came to the walled city of Jericho, they didn't attack that city by normal means at all, did they? I mean, it was wild that God just tells them to march around the city, and then they're going to shout on the seventh day, the seventh time, and the walls are going to come down. He got direction from the Lord. And you see, that's what we need. And sometimes it may not be some big, long, elaborate thing. Sometimes it's just some simple thing that you need to change or that you need to do different. But just one word from God. I want to remind you from Romans 8:14 in the NIV, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. In the book of Genesis, it tells us about how Jacob had this dream of the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder, and Jacob makes a vow to the Lord. He'll give him a tenth of everything that He blesses him with. And then he goes and he lives with his uncle Laban, and he takes care of Laban's flocks for many years. And, you know, part of that deal was he wanted to marry Rachel, and that's another story in and of itself. But Laban became very rich because of Jacob taking care of his animals. But Laban was never fair with Jacob about how he paid him. And so one day Jacob tells Laban, the Lord's made you a wealthy man because of me. He says, but I don't have anything on my own. So Laban offers to pay him, but Jacob says, no, I don't want you to pay me. I want you to instead to give me the animals that are spotted or streaked. And Laban agrees, and then Jacob does this weird thing of putting spotted and speckled posts around the animals. And I just want to say to you clearly now, you can put pot spotted and speckled post or streaked post, did I say that right? Around animals all you want to, it's not going to change them unless God is in it. But God was in it. And the Lord blessed Jacob so much. The scripture says Jacob became exceedingly prosperous. He blessed him so much that eventually Jacob tells his wives, he says, the Lord has taken your father's wealth and given it to me. Where did Jacob come up with his business plan? Genesis 31 and 10. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your your eyes now and see all the rams which leap upon the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. For I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Now, I just want you to know that God gave him that idea. And here he was for a long time, just toughing it out, doing what he's supposed to be doing, being a blessing to this other man. And God gave him the idea that put him over the top. And so I just want to encourage you that that can happen for you too, but you need direction from the Lord. We're going to go faster. Number three, to go to the next level, you got to do your best. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. If you're stuck on one level in some area of your life, you got to be willing to pay the price to get to that next level. You got to be willing to do the work. It takes work. Proverbs 3:4 in the NIV says, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So what are you willing to do to make your marriage better? It's amazing what people will do to catch the right one. They'll lose weight. They'll dress nice. They'll bathe regularly, right? But they think their marriage shouldn't have to have any effort. It should just be easy. One wife started wearing perfume and her husband thought she must be having an affair. What are you willing to do to get a promotion? Well, to get it just because I showed up every day. No. What if you came early every day and left last every day? I'm not saying that's what you're supposed to do. I'm just saying that it takes work. It takes our best. I mean, if you're going to raise godly children, let me tell you what the real issue there is. It's a lot of work. It's very hands-on. It's not easy. You got to be super diligent and just stay on it all the time. Child left to themselves would bring disgrace. That's what the scripture says. I'm just telling you, you got to work at it. It doesn't happen. You know, I told you got to believe. But sometimes people get this, they go to the extreme where they put their feet up in the easy chair and say, well, I'm believing God. Listen, it's faith with works. You believe in God. But you do the things that you need to do. You do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. See, if you want to improve your health, you want your health to go to a new level, well, you're going to have to get up and go walk or go to the gym or start eating right. There's going to be something that you got to do with that. But we got to have the attitude that we'll do what it takes to get to the next level. Philippians 3:12-14, Paul says, not that I've already attained or am already made perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, Paul is determined. He's reaching forward, pressing forward in the things of God. And I am sure that if the Apostle Paul lived in our day and time, he would spend very little time watching TV and playing games on the computer or the phone. I just got all up in somebody's business, right? You see, when I'm talking about going to the next level, I'm not talking about on your game. But a lot of the time, you see, we get so distracted with silliness and waste effort on foolishness instead of using that effort on the things that really matter and focusing on the things that we want to go to the next level. What if you believed I can go to the next level? I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I'm going to give it my very best. You don't waste time and squander your energy. No, we got to be focused on the things that are really important. Put your efforts towards the things you're believing God for. Number four, to go to the next level, it takes passion. If you don't really care, you're not going there. No, it takes passion. You know, if you're not passionate about your relationship with the Lord, you're not staying the same. You're actually going backwards. There's no staying the same. You can't just coast. I mean, Revelation 3:15, Jesus tells the lukewarm that he's about to spew them out of his mouth. And even if we've walked with the Lord for many years, we need to stay passionate about the Lord. Stay on fire for the Lord. The Apostle Paul, after knowing Jesus for decades, he's still saying, I want to know him. Philippians 3:8, the Living Bible paraphrase says it this way. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ my Lord. So if you're not on fire for the Lord, go to church every time the doors are open, even Wednesday night, right? Hang around people that are on fire. Some of it might get on you. See, you do what you got to do to stir yourself up. But you need to have a passion about your relationship with the Lord. I don't think I have to explain to you that passion is important in marriage. Really quiet right now. But some of you, you're wishing that your spouse was listening. I'm just telling you that you need to get that passion going. If you're not passionate about ministry, I don't think it'll ever be fruitful. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:11 not to be lagging in diligence, but to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. NIV says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. See, without the zeal and the passion, well, what happens is we settle. One person put it this way, life will not give you what you want, neither will it give you what you think you deserve. Life will give you what you're willing to settle for. It's not scripture, but I want to tell you there is some truth in that, that too often, you see, we end up with what we were willing to settle for instead of what we were believing for and working for. So we got to have that passion that, you know, I'm not going to stay here. I'm reaching forward. One freshman football player, he was the field goal kicker. He comes on the field and he's going to kick the game-winning field goal, but he just decided to call it, in the huddle. What do you call it in the huddle? He changes the play in the huddle. I'm going to get better. He changes the play in the huddle. And he has the ball hiked directly to him, and he runs with the ball, and he gets hit, and he fumbles. And somebody on the other team picks it up, and they're running for a touchdown the other direction. But the kicker, his name was Smitty, he gets up and he takes off after him. And somehow he catches the guy and tackles him. And the coach says, how in the world did this happen? He just ran right by all of our best athletes. How did he do that? And somebody said, well, coach, those guys were running, you know, because they wanted to win. But Smitty was running for his life. And I just want to tell you, see, it makes a difference if we have passion, if our heart is really in it, if we really want it. It's amazing the difference it makes. We ought to be excited about what God wants to do in our life and give it all that we have. You know, I think one reason it's important to be passionate and be enthusiastic is because, you know, most of the things that that God is involved in our life, it's going to have to do with other people. And if you're not enthusiastic about it, guess what? They won't be either. But if you're a store employee, have you ever seen these store employees where they are working as hard as they can to not do anything? Sometimes they, you know, they're like, they get in those huddles, like there's three or four of them, and if you say something to them, they're like, they act like you're disturbing them. You know what I'm saying? I just want to tell you, those people are not going to the next level. They have no passion about their job and about doing a good job, doing it heartily to the Lord. But I'm just saying, don't let it die down. Keep it burning bright. Passion doesn't last without this next one. Number five is perseverance. There's always going to be obstacles. That next level, it doesn't come easy. If it did, you'd already be there, right? There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a struggle. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. So you decide that you're going to go to the next level, that you want to see your family all serving God, all doing the work of the Lord and involved in church and everything. And it's amazing how a lot of the time it seems like things go from bad to worse first. You're going to have to persevere. If you don't have some perseverance, I'm just telling you, you won't ever get there. Oftentimes, you see, God takes us to the next level when we're ready for it. And when are you going to be ready for it? When you're mature enough. How are you going to get there? You persevere. Is there a scripture about that? Oh, you know there is. James 1, 2 through 4, the NIV says it pretty simply. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When you're not lacking anything, you're ready for anything. Perseverance develops the character that you need. It prepares you for the next level. See, to go to the next level, we got to persevere. You can't get discouraged. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Our small strength too often gets revealed in the day of adversity. Our character gets revealed in adversity and trials. And it also gets developed in adversity and trials. See, sometimes people think, well, when I get to the next level, it's going to be easier. Because we want everything to get easier. But most of the time, the next level actually involves greater responsibility. And sometimes it brings more opportunities for stress. Now some of you are thinking, maybe I'll just stay where I'm at. But you see, God is able in your life to develop character so that you are ready for that. None of us likes trials. None of us likes to go through hard places. But it is amazing to me as we look back over the years how that many of the greatest battles and hardest things that we went through prepared us for greater ministry, prepared us to be able to do things that we didn't even have a clue about before. I'm just telling you that it's just a part of the process. If you know, you have to be willing to persevere even when it's hard. Number six, we're going to go really fast. Number six, you got to be willing to change something. I mean, if you keep doing the same thing, you can't expect to have different results. If your health has been going downhill for a while, you're going to have to change something to improve your health. But whatever area you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to change something in that area. See, if you want to improve your finances, well, you're either going to have to make more money, spend less money, borrow less, invest, give. Something has to change. Whatever it is, but something's going to have to change. But the real key It's not just change for change's sake, but it's being willing to change what the Lord would have us change. And I want to give you this. Sometimes I've had conversations with people, none of y'all, of course, but I've had conversations with people where I was trying to help them. And I say, well, this is what the scripture says. You know, this is what you need to do. But they didn't want to change. I mean, when you're talking with a couple that's having marital problems and neither person is willing to change, it's the saddest thing. And you see, so often in life, we want different results, but we don't want to change. I'm telling you, if you're going to go to the next level, there's probably something you need to do different, something that you need to change. I mean, you know, maybe you need to go back to school, finish your degree. Maybe you need to go for marriage counseling. But you got to be willing to change something to get to the next level. Last, and this is the one that is going to be really strange. You know, a lot of the things I've talked about are, I guess, pretty common. And maybe even in the world in some measure might follow them. But to get to the next level, you got to help others reach their next level. Because as a Christian, as a child of God, it's never just about us. There's too much of that in the world. You know, the world says, exalt yourself. But Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. And the Bible teaches us to lift others up. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. It can never just be about us. It's always about people. That's just the way God works. And I'll tell you, if the Lord is in it, it's going to impact other people in some way. So we're trying to reach our next level. We just need to remember that it's so important that we help other people along the way. It's the law of sowing and reaping. I mean, you help somebody else get to their next level, God will help you get to your next level. I'll close with this story. There was a farmer that every year he would win this contest for his corn, that it was the best corn. It was the award-winning corn. He'd enter this state fair where he would always get the blue ribbon. And this reporter was talking to him about it, and he found out that the farmer was sharing his best corn seed with his neighbors. And he's like, how can you win if you're giving it to your neighbors? He said, you don't understand how this works. He says, if my neighbors have substandard corn, then it's going to cross-pollinate with my corn and degrade the quality of my corn. So I want my neighbors to have good corn. And I'm just telling you that, see, when we lift others up, it doesn't push us down. I'm just telling you that in God's view, this is so important that to get to our next level, we got to be concerned about others also. Lift somebody else up, encourage somebody, build them up, elevate somebody. Seven things: believe, get direction from the Lord, do your best, have passion, persevere, be willing to change, and help somebody else. Stand with me. We're going to pray.